All right, welcome to what I consider to be phase two of this tefillah series. If you're joining for the first time, it's a good time to jump in. Phase one, we had 11 shiurim on what tefillah fundamentals, went through the basics of tefillah in a broad sense, of how it makes sense to daven, changing Hashem's mind, how to daven for other people, how that makes sense, the idea of tefillah be'ez tzara, how to have kavana, how to daven when you don't have kavana, the importance of davening not only in shul and tefillah, but davening throughout the entire day. We spoke about the role of minyan, the role of shul, and those are not necessarily the same thing. We talked about the great value that comes from connecting to the klal, and the theme that really geula plays throughout our tefillahs. In phase two now, we take those larger ideas and we begin to apply them. Some newer ideas, and also we're definitely going to see some old ideas resurfacing as we start to go through the actual siddur. And I consider this to be less about Be'er Tefillah, less about explaining line by line, piece by piece, but again, fundamentals. Hopefully we'll devote at least 1 week to each section of the Siddur as we go through explaining what are the things to keep in mind, maybe a new perspective, maybe take the classic perspective and touch it up or offer a brand new perspective. And today I want to offer what I consider to be a new perspective on the idea of Birchas HaShachar, the things we say first thing in the morning. Recently I saw a t-shirt and it said, I don't like morning people, or morning, or people. And I think back to one of my roommates, well, I'm not going to say which part of my life, but a roommate of mine, David, who I was zochet to room with, a good friend of mine, who was very much not a morning person. The contrast was so interesting because he was very much a night person. When he was at night, when he was tired, David, he was silly, he was giddy, he was funny, he was insightful, he was philosophical, he was very philosophical. It got really, really exciting when he was tired, David. But then when he was morning, David, morning David was very, very grumpy, very, very grouchy, and not so much fun to spend so much time with. So not all of us could be morning people. And yet we're expected to wake up in the morning and immediately have a lot of things to say. We're supposed to be focusing on grand ideas of thanking Hashem, praising Hashem, starting off our day this way. Is it possible for those of us who are not morning people, which in this context means don't necessarily connect to the early parts of davening, or we're rushing to shul and it's hard for us to say these things, at all, or with kavana, can we take a deeper dive? Can we have a new perspective on what it means to be a morning Jew, what it means to be a person in the morning who has a fresh outlook, and how we can use this not only to be grateful in the morning, but actually infuse a new perspective? Now, if I asked you, what do you think is the main goal, the main theme of Birchas HaShachar, you'd probably say, the main goal of Birchas HaShachar is? Praise, thanks, Hakaras HaTov. We begin our day with Hakaras HaTov. Rabbi Avram Goldberg from Boca Raton has a nice series on tefillah, and in the very first shiur he talks about Moda Ani, and he says that we don't start off our day with the word Ani Modeh. Can't begin our day with Ani. Can't begin our day thinking about myself. We phrase it as Modeh Ani. The first thing in my mouth in the morning is Hakaras HaTov, of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude, as he called it, which permeates really everything we're trying to accomplish on this day. And that's correct. It is correct to say that Berchas HaShachar are mainly about Hakaras HaTov. And that is supposed to carry us through, setting us up for the Pesukei de Zimra, all the way to Shema, and to Shmona Esrei, the real meat of the Avoda, of the Amida, of the Tefillah. Yes, that's absolutely correct. But I want to dive deeper, both in what Hakaras HaTov actually means in the context of Brachos, and then to transition that idea into a perspective on self-esteem. How maybe we can argue, connecting some very, very beautiful sources that all say the same thing, but as far as I can tell, I've never seen someone put all these different sources together. Berchas HaShachar has another theme in addition to Hakaras HaTov, and is very much about self-esteem. So let's begin by talking about Hakaras HaTov. Hakaras HaTov is the most obvious idea to think about in the morning, Modeh Ani, it's how we begin the day, carried out by thanking Hashem for being able to walk, and being able to see, and being able to have clothes, and being able to do mitzvahs. So it's all about thanking Hashem. What exactly is the point of thanking Hashem? What is the point of blessing Hashem? Modeh Ani is not a bracha, but all the brachos that we say in the morning, Baruch Atah Hashem, we say it so often, what exactly does that mean? So the Sefer HaChinuch, one of my favorite svarim, we learned together Mincha Maariv during the week. But the Sefer HaChinuch, 700 years ago, in source number one, discussing Birchas HaMazon, takes a deeper dive into what brachos in general mean. And he debunks a translation that probably we're all familiar with. He says in source number one, Tzarech Atah Lahavchin, Ki Ba'amarnu Tamir Bebrachos, Baruch Atah Hashem, when we say very often, we're familiar with the terms, blessed are you Hashem, or Yisbarach, we refer to Hashem as Yisbarach, he shall be gebenched, he shall be blessed, which simply sounds like, Eina mashmaos lefi adomeh, lahosif bracha b'misha eino tzarach l'shum tosef es chalila. Sounds like we're blessing Hashem. We're giving him blessing. But that can't be. Ki hu adon al hakol. V'chol ha-brachos hu mechadesh osan. U'mamtzion me'ayin. Hashem is the one who is the source of all brachos. How can we be giving him a blessing? How can we be supplying him with that which he already has, and we don't have to give him? Now, here I pause. There is a Kabbalistic idea, really based on the Gemara and Brachos and Daf Zayin, which discusses the idea of Hashem asking us for Brachos. So there is a Kabbalistic idea, which I'm not competent to comment on, but there's a Kabbalistic idea over here that there is an idea of us giving Brachos to Hashem. That is not the approach of the Sefer HaChinuch, though it is true. Sefer HaChinuch describes what is a Bracha mean, what does it mean, Baruch Atah Hashem, in the next paragraph. Nomar she'inyan ha-bracha she'anu omrim lefanav einenu rak hazkara le'oror nafshenu b'divrei pinu. The real recipient, in that sense, of the bracha is us. We are trying to awaken within ourselves an awareness of Hashem being ki hu ha-mevarach u-mevarach yichlol kol ha-tovos. He is gebenched, he is blessed, and that is the source of everything that we need. All the good things in life. The health, and the wealth, and the parnasa, and the shaduchim, and everything we need, Hashem has it. And by us blessing Hashem, we are not trying to give him something. We are trying to describe him in a certain way. And by us awakening within ourselves, using our language to be able to inspire ourselves to truly tap into the idea and to fully connect to the idea with gratitude that Hashem is the one who has Sechvivina and has Pokeach Ivrim and Malbush Arumim and Osim Liayev Koach. By making those brachos, we are trying to remind ourselves that Hashem has access to all those ideas. And he can give it out to those who are deserving and those he wants to give it to. And by doing so, and that he makes a connection between how it is a bracha is supposed to lead to with hishtadlus, the act of making a bracha is what actually allows us to get that blessing. We state in second person, we state to Hashem our gratitude and our awareness of the fact that he is the source of Rofei Chalei Amo Yisrael. And he is the source of Bevarach Hashanim. And by saying those words, we are more less about praising him in the sense of trying to give him something he doesn't have. We are describing him in a way that's important for us to be aware of gratitude, for us to be aware that he has those things. And when we become the people who are aware of those things, then we become deserving of those very things. Skip down to where it's underlined. He said, "V'nimtza lefi hanachas tamzeh, according to my reasoning, she'yia baruch toar." Baruch is not a verb. It's not saying, Hashem, you should be blessed. It is an adjective. We are describing Hashem as, blessed art thou, our Lord, our God, King of the universe. We are describing Hashem as blessed. Not that he should be blessed, but that he is a source of blessing. Kolomar hoda elav, it's a gratitude, ki hu kolel kol abrachos, that he is the source of everything. How about the term yisbarach? Yisbarach certainly sounds like he should be gebenched. V'zeu perish yisbarach, kolomar yihi ratzam lofanacha. Yisbarach means, Hashem, you should be recognized as the source of blessing by all of your people. It's less about us making Hashem blessed, which the Kabbalistic approach would take, that we're actually, our praise makes Hashem the Melech, makes him the king. There's a lot of truth to the Kabbalistic approach. But the Sefer HaChinuch's approach is not that approach. It's Hashem is blessed whether we say it or not. The real beneficiary of this blessing is ourselves. And by saying Hashem is Baruch, we are describing him. We're not wishing him anything good. We are describing him as already good, which is important for us to be able to see him as that good. And that awareness allows us to connect to him better, and that allows us to be actually recipients of his blessing. And by saying Hashem should be Yisbarach, we're saying Hashem should be recognized by all as blessed. And by doing that, the whole world will have wonderful things. That's how good things are going to come to the world. Sefer HaChinuch repeats this idea in another mitzvah, talking about Bikurim, the idea a person has to not only bring Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, the first of their fruits, the first of the Shivas Aminim, each year, but a person has to also do Mikra Bikurim, recite Psukim, where a person has a Karas HaTov, Rami Oved Avi, going back to Yaakov and Lavan, and then all the way down to Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael. A person doesn't just say thanks for the fruits, a person has this whole Jewish history lesson, which we adapted into our Haggadah. Our main text of Magid comes from Mikra Bikurim, and the Sefer HaChinuch echoes his idea again, the Fisha, source number two, the Fisha Ha'adam me'orer u'machshavosav mitzar bilvavo ha'emes b'koach divrei piv. When we daven, when we use our words, when we make a bracha, it's less about giving Hashem something, rather it's about awakening within ourselves. As the Sefer HaChinuch frequently says, our actions inspire our feelings, not just our physical actions involving our hands and feet, even our actions of piv, our actions of using our words. are supposed to inspire us. And by going back to the whole history of Yetzias Mitzrayim and our national mission, that's supposed to awaken in us Hakaras HaTov. So this is perhaps a nuanced perspective on the classic idea. Classic idea is Berchos HaShachar are about Hakaras HaTov. Maybe a more nuanced way to say the Hakaras HaTov element of Berchos HaShachar, it's about raising awareness within ourselves that Hashem is the one who gives us this fresh day and gives us ability to see, ability to walk, and ability to stand, and ability to learn Torah, and ability to be clean, and ability to go to the bathroom. That's not so much about Hashem feeling good about himself. Rather, it's us inculcating within ourselves the awareness of these ideas, that he is Baruch, all the brachos in the morning, making 100 brachos a day. It's about us realizing and actually connecting in a very real way that Hashem is Baruch, and this is how we want to start our day, with Hakaras HaTov, connecting, and by becoming the people who are aware of this, we're zocha to all those wonderful blessings. That's the first idea, the classic idea with a twist, an important idea, which is absolutely true. And there's nothing lacking in this idea. I suggest another idea about self-esteem, because again, we've kind of taken brachos and tefillah out of the realm of giving Hashem something he doesn't have. As we've been saying throughout the series, Rav Hirsch's idea, when a person daven is not the same thing as prayer in the English sense, or German sense, for Rav Hirsch, who said that prayer means a person expressing the things that they already want. They want it so badly, they can't contain their emotions, they're so desperate for help. And sometimes tefillah has a tchina, tefillah can be in that form as well. But Rav Hirsch said that formal tefillah can't be described as us expressing the things that we're feeling so emotionally. Because how could we ask for the same things every single day? How can there be a standard text? How are we all saying it at the same time? There's one text we're all feeling the exact same things at the same time? And Rav Hirsch told us, I mean, we've used this idea as the backbone of the entire series. Joseph Albo told us that tefillah is changing ourselves, and Rav Hirsch explained that what that means is that we are trying to insert and inculcate certain values into our psyche, into our awareness, and Rav Hirsch's beautiful language, those who feel these things the least need to dive in the most. They need to be able to connect to these ideas. And that's to say for Achinuch's point. We wake up in the morning, we make these brachos, because if we're not already grateful, the brachos are the vehicle by which we become grateful when we recognize Hashem as the source of all these things. The newer approach I'd like to share with you, which is not so different and not so disconnected from this approach we just read, is the idea of a new beginning. The idea of waking up in the morning and viewing it as a fresh new start. And this is going to be our theme for the remainder of this year. It involves the pasuk in Eicha, one of the pasukim tucked away in the third parak of Eicha, which has many, many short pasukim read very quickly. And the pasuk is Chadashim Labakarim. Hashem creates new things in the morning. Rabba Emun Asecha. This pasuk may look familiar, probably because it ends off Rabba Emun Asecha. What does that sound like? Sounds like Moda Ani. The Medrash commenting on this pasuk, the Medrash in Eicha, has many different interpretations. What it means, Chadashim LaBakarim, new things are created in the morning. Rabba Emun Asecha, great is your faith. What's being created in the morning and where exactly is your faith playing a role? Medrash describes well creating malachim every single day. But one of the pshatim in the Medrash is Hashem giving us back our neshama in the morning is creating us anew. We're not the same person as yesterday, giving back our neshama. No, it's almost like we died. Misa is asleep is a microcosm of Misa, and we're starting a fresh, brand new start. What's Rabba Emun Asecha? So look at the Mishnah Berurah. In the very beginning of Mishnah Berurah, he discusses Hanhagos of the morning, and he writes in source number 4, Tov Lomar Teikaf Bekuma, when a person wakes up, even before washing your hands. The very first thing a Jew says in the morning, Modeh Ani Lefanecha. There's a discussion if women should say Modeh or Moda. It's a good grammatical discussion for another time. So Modeh Ani Lefanecha, Melech Chai V'Kayam, Shechazarta B'Nishmasi, Bechemla, Rabba Emun Asecha. I am grateful to you, Hashem, King of the Universe, who is a living King, who has returned back my neshama with kindness, with compassion. Great is your wisdom. Great is your faith in. So v'teves bechemla yia be'esnachta. Tells us an important grammatical point to put the comma after the word bechemla. The Rabba Emun Asecha should go together, which is not typically how we sing it. All the tunes the kids learn from Moda Ani, Bechemla Rabba Emun Asecha. Mishnah Berurah doesn't like that. Why? Because what's the source? Vumen HaKasav, Pasuk in Eicha, Chadashim LaBakarim. There's no Chemla Rabba in that Pasuk. Chadashim LaBakarim, Rabba Emun Asecha. What's it about? As the Medrash said, Shekadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim Emun Aso, Hashem is faithful, he is not dishonest, He has our neshamos. He doesn't abscond with them. Lahatzir neshamos hamufkadim beboker. He doesn't run away with all the money that he's watching in his bank. He doesn't keep the neshamos and sell them on eBay or Craigslist for a black market deal. No, Hashem gives back our neshamos every single morning, and that is Chadashim al-Bukharim, Rabba Amunasecha. I only know of one tune from Oda Ani that does this correctly. That would be Shmuel Brazil's.
No, there's a very nice the one.
Nishma si bechemla. Rava emuna secha. Right, so Shmuel Brazil got it right. Right? All they're from all the Anis?
Well, Omer Adam stays one.
He has it right?
It's paraphrasing, but it's haunting and beautiful, especially.
A lot of the ones the kids learn in school and it becomes ingrained in their heads, they get it wrong. Chemla Rabba Munasecha. The idea is Rabba Munasecha as a pasuk in Eicha, which is the idea of Hashem returning back our neshamos. The Chasam Sofer in source number 5 has a beautiful way of rephrasing and reframing exactly what's happening over here. We typically think of it as that we have our neshamos, we deposit them, we entrust them to Hashem, and Rabba Munasecha, wow, how faithful is Hashem, how wonderful is Hashem, he is honest, and he is a person of faith, a being of faith, he doesn't keep our neshamos and abscond with them. Look at the Chasam Sofer, who really turns the whole thing on its head. Who is the owner of the neshama, who is the mafkid, who is the nifkad, who is the one safeguarding the neshama? Listen to what he says, beautiful idea. What it means Hashem is Rabba Munasecha. Chasam Sofer commenting on the pasuk Hashem la bukarim Rabba Munasecha quotes a medrash Adam mafkid pikadon. When a person gives another person something to watch, can you watch my cash for me? Can you watch my diamond ring for me? Safek imachziro, you're not sure if you'll ever get it back. I ask you to watch my diamond ring. We're always so trusting. We go in the airport. We go to the bathroom. Can you watch my stuff for me? How do you know this person's not going to walk off with your suitcase? Okay, not sure, but we're very trusting. Even though we don't know for sure, the person isn't going to take off with your suitcase. How wonderful is Hashem that we give him our neshamos every night, and in the morning he always gives it back to us. We give our neshamos that are tired and worn down, and our neshama is fresh and crisp in the morning. Ask the Chasam Sofer, Vitzarchi and Gadol. That's what the Medrash is talking about. The Chichidashu, Shakadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Yishaker Bemunaso, Lahachzer Bekdono, Rabba Munasecha. Wow! How trustworthy is Hashem? He doesn't walk off with our neshamos that he's guarding for us. He doesn't steal them and pocket them. Why would that be something we would expect him to do? But oh, Rafilu Rotzel Shaker, he says the neshamos really belong to Hashem. What do you mean steal? Doesn't the neshama really belong to Hashem? So the Chasam Sofer flips the whole thing on its head. We'll do it outside for a second. The Chasam Sofer explains, it's a mistake to think what the Medrash means is that we own our neshamos, and we entrust it to Hashem, the laundromat, over the night, and he cleans it for us, and thank God he doesn't walk off with our neshamos, he gives it back to us. We are not the mafkid. We are not the one who is making a deposit. The neshama belongs to Hashem. He is the one who entrusted it to us to live a life with it that is pure. He gave us a neshama, put it into the body, and said, I'm trusting you, human being, with this neshama to have a meaningful life and to keep the neshama pure and to live a life that makes me proud. Now, says the Chasam Sofer, let's use a human mashal. If I ask someone else, can you watch this diamond ring for me? I even pay, this is a Shomer Sachar. I pay the person to watch a diamond ring for me. There's an understanding the person's obligated to watch it for me, and if they do a bad job, if they're poshea, if they're negligent, then I get to collect from them when the term is up. So if I ask a person to watch the diamond ring for a year, and over the course of the year, every so often I say, you know, I'm going to a wedding, I'm going to a simcha, I need the diamond ring back. Can I have it back? And I'll give it back to you when the wedding is over. And every time you take the diamond ring back, you see how dirty it is, and how decrepit it is, and how it's covered in goop and fallen on the floor a couple times, and it's covered in dirt and dust. At some point you might say, well, I'm not giving it back to this person to watch it. Yeah, I asked them to watch it for a year-long period, but if periodically I need it back, and I see how poorly it's being cared for, why would I trust this person to watch it for me? It's true, I could follow the term and have them watch it again for the remainder of the year, and when I get it back at the end, have them pay for the cleaning of it, have them pay for the jeweler to come and spice it up a little bit, take out the gook from between all the stones, but why would I do it to myself? Why would I willingly give it back after seeing partway through the term how disgusting it is, and then charge them when it's over? Who knows if they're going to make it a lot worse? Let me just keep it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu really has that dilemma with us. It's not that we give him our neshamos and thank God he gives it back to us. It's that it's his neshama. He asked us to watch it for a term of 120 years. And every so often, every night, he takes it back. It's him taking back his pikadon from us. And he looks and he says, ew, this has been through a terrible ringer today. Whether it's the averos, or lack of mitzvos, or just silly things, Hashem looks at the diamond and he says, this is covered in goop and person has not been taking care of this. Why would he want to give it back to us the next day? He might say, you know what, I originally said 120 years, but now that I see how terribly it's being treated, why should I wait until a person finishes their life and then have this Gehenna process of purging and cleaning the diamond? Forget it. I'll just keep it now and say, I'm not giving it back to you to watch it for me. You're doing a terrible job. That would make sense. With human beings, that would be the normal course of action. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do that. We have a second chance and a third chance, and every single day for 120 years, we get another chance. Despite how disgusting the neshama may look after a dirty day, Hashem says, this is what I gave to you, this is how you're treating it, this is how you're watching it. I should just keep it for myself. Oh, says the Chasam Sofer on the next page, say four lines down where it's underlined. V'nei b'chol laila chozer ha'adam u'mafkid nishmas lefi shavi yad b'ayla v'arishonim hu aborius barach shemo. Every night we give back our neshamos. We're not giving it to him to watch for us. It's that I'm not giving him my neshama. I'm giving him back his neshama, which I was asked to take care of. Hashem sees how dirty it's gotten. Why would the mafkid want to give it back to the same watchman? Until it gets even worse. And then have to ultimately sue the person for damages. Why go through all this terrible rigmarole? Hashem should say, let him just keep it after seeing the person isn't doing a good job day after day, week after week. A person shouldn't have a chance to renew their life. And that's it. Aval eino kein. This is the beauty of Moda'ani. What we're saying is Hashem does not keep it. Not because we're proud he doesn't steal from us. It's his. He chooses to give it back to us, despite our bad track record. For all 120 years, day in, day out, he doesn't just take it. He cleans it. And he gets out all the gook. And he purifies the neshama. And he gives it back. Hashem's faith in giving back the neshama is faith in us. Faith in us that we are going to be better today than yesterday. And it's been many yesterdays. Hashem still says, it's a new, fresh day. You got this. Despite what the evidence points to the contrary, Rabba Munasecha, I don't just have faith in you, I have tremendous faith in you. Tremendous faith. Tremendous faith that even as bad as yesterday was, as long as it's been since you were connected properly, tefillin yakaras hatov, I trust that by tomorrow, you're going to start it over again. And Moda Ani expresses this, not necessarily because Hashem needs to hear how wonderful he is, Rabba Munasecha, but because, like I said before, we need to be the ones to express this in the morning. The yakaras hatov to Hashem is palpable. Perhaps a different layer on top of that is the need for the self-esteem to say, today is a fresh morning. I could be a morning person. I could be a person who finds today full of potential that maybe I've given up on a long time ago. Modeh ani lefanecha, I am talking to Hashem, but I'm also talking to myself. I'm talking to Hashem, as the Sefer HaChinuch said, to awaken within myself an awareness not only of gratitude, but gratitude that spells a certain perspective of hope, of optimism, of self-esteem, that I had this neshama, a new fresh start. Hashem, trust me, regardless of what happened before, to turn things around. It's not only a new day, but it's a new me. It's a new fresh start for me, and today's going to be the first day the rest of my life. What I'd like to suggest, this idea about Moda Ani, that it's about, yes, gratitude to Hashem, and also a statement, an affirmation of tremendous self-esteem, regardless of how far we've fallen or how long we've been disconnected, we start each day anew as if Hashem's trusting us because he is. Rabba Munasecha. This theme is not just found in Moda Ani. It's found throughout Berachas HaShachar and perhaps maybe the main theme of Berachas HaShachar. Let's carry it through. Let's look out for those words. Chadashim Labukarim. Hashem renews us in the morning. Rabba Munasecha. Person washes their hands in the morning. Verse number 6, make the bracha of Al Natilas Yadayim. Why does a person make Al Natilas Yadayim in the morning? A person washes their hands for bread. Chazal or Masakin, based on the laws of Truma and Tuma, that a person should make Natilas Yadayim before eating bread. But a person wakes up in the morning, even if they're not having a gigantic bagel for breakfast, a person in the morning is going to be making Al Natilas Yadayim. Why? Mishnah Berurah quotes two different sources in the Rishonim, the Rush and the Rashba. Source number 7, Harash Kasa Lafishi Adaim Shal Adam Askani Yosein. A very practical reason for washing your hands every single morning, because a person, while they're sleeping, may have touched, covered parts of the body, scratched, and therefore, to be able to say brachos and daven in the morning, to say Kriyas Shema, a person has to wash their hands. Just like during the day, if you touch something dirty, you have to wash before davening. It's assumed while you were sleeping, you touched something dirty, and therefore, you have to wash every single morning. Then he quotes a second approach, the approach of the Rashba. The Rashba kasa lefi shebishachar achar hashena anunasim kiberya chadasha dechsev chadashim labakarim rabamu nesecha. Here's the pasuk again. Not only for Moda'ani, for Netilas Sedaim in the morning. Says the Rashba in the 1300s. Every single morning, a person is a fresh new creation. Tzrichin anu lahodos lo yisbarach. We have a karas atov shebara anu lechoda lesharso levarach shemo. We are created for a purpose, a tremendous purpose, of tremendous potential going forward. He's saying all the brachos of Shachar are related to this theme of being fresh, of being new, of having a mission. How does having a mission, how does having a Avodas Hashem ahead of us involve washing your hands? Very simple. Every morning the Kohen doing the Avodah has to wash his hands. The washing of the hands symbolizes a fresh new Avodah, a person purifying themselves to engage in Melechas HaKodesh. Each of us, Kohen or not, is engaging in Avodas Hashem for the day, and by washing our hands every single morning, even if we weren't worried about our hands touching anything, even if our hands were wearing gloves over the course of the night. So the first reason wouldn't apply. You're wearing gloves while you slept. But the Rashba says just the idea of waking up in the morning, having your neshama renewed to you, makes you a new person. You're a new person doing Avodah for the first time. What? I've been davening for 20 years, davening for 50 years. I've been putting on tefillin and saying brachos for 50 years. No, you're a new person today. Today is the first day of your new Avodah, and you have to wash your hands like a person who treats their day like Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem requires a sense of perspective, a sense of purpose, a sense of great Kedusha that's at hand, no pun intended. Great Kedusha as the opportunity. Mishnah Berurah Paskin is like both reasons. There's nafkaminas. There's sometimes where the reason of the Rush applies about hands being dirty overnight, and the reason of the Rashba applies, and the Paskins, we're machmer for both reasons. If either reason applies, then we have to wash our hands in the morning. Being up all night or wearing gloves while you sleep, there's different nafkaminas. But I'd like to suggest, al derech drush, that both reasons are true even for our purposes. The Rush, al derech drush, is telling us that when a person sleeps, a person from yesterday has all these tumos, has all these things that were dirty, all the things that stained our neshama, and in the morning we say we're washing that away. We're washing away yesterday's tuma. It's a fresh, clean start. The Rashba said, we're about to engage in Avodas Hashem, we're a brand new being, and therefore, we have to engage in Netilas Yadayim. Netilas Yadayim continues the theme of Moda'ani. When a person doesn't just wake up in the morning, but gets out of bed and washes their hands Nagelvasser, which means a person is starting the day washing away yesterday's impurities and starting fresh and clean with the purpose of Avodah. Let's keep going. Right after Netilas Yadayim comes Asher Yatzar. Says the Rama in source number 8, V'yesh Omrim Gam Asher Yatzar V'afilu Lo Asa Tzuracha V'chein Ahagu. The halacha is, a person says Asher Yatzar in the morning, even if they don't go to the bathroom. Why? Asher Yatzar, we say throughout the day, after you go to the bathroom. Why is Asher Yatzar making it into, we don't say a mizonos in the morning. We say it when you're hungry, and you also say it in the morning. No, why is Asher Yatzar doing it in the morning?
His arteries, his veins, his
food. Says the Mishnah Berurah, I didn't put it on the sheets, I apologize. I have it on the computer, but I apologize. It's missing a line. Mishum de baboker nasa kiberya chadasha. There it is again. Asher Yatzar is a bracha about the body. The body, we thank Hashem for it every time we go to the bathroom. It's a little more nuanced than that. The Rama in source number 10, when talking about Asher Yatzar, explains the last phrase, Rofecho basar umafli la'asos, the body is a wonder. What exactly is the wonder of the body, you might wonder? Says the Rama, Shemafli la'asos b'masha shomer ruach ha'adam v'kirbo, that a person's neshama is able to withstand the presence in a physical body, the kosher davar ruchani v'davar gashmi. But there could be a being that has this hybrid, this combined force of both a neshama and a guf, and that's going to be because Hashem makes the body healthy and properly designed, and that's why we thank Hashem every single morning. In other words, going to the bathroom is the quintessential example of how a person is living with a neshama, yet in a very physical world. The idea of waste, the idea of physical eating and going to the restroom, there is no greater expression of a physical life, a mundane life in the trenches. And yet, we go to the bathroom and we say, this allows us to live, this allows us to continue housing the neshama and filling life with brachos and mitzvos. It's elevating the davar chomer, the most mundane thing of going to the bathroom, and we give it a bracha of asher yatzar. But even in the morning when we're not going to the bathroom, that same concept is true. If it's true when you go to the bathroom, just waking up in the morning is that idea. Waking up in the morning is the idea that I am a guf, I am a neshama, I have these forces, I have these kalim, I have these tools to allow me to be productive on this day, to serve avodah on the Beis HaMikdash. That's my goal, a fresh, clean neshama for the body, for the neshama that's housed within. And it's a mafli la'asos. It's a wonder how Hashem could create this and have them stay together. That's something I express to Karas HaTov in the morning. A, to thank Hashem, but B, for me to realize this tremendous dose of self-esteem when I say, look what I have. I have this fresh neshama. And yes, it's going to be going through a dirty world, a world of bathroom, a world of needs, a world of physicality, a world of distraction, but the neshama can make it. And if it was dirty yesterday, I wash that away and I say, Asher Yatzar Hashem B'chachma, the brilliance over here, where the neshama is able to be here, Mafli La'asos. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, as a Karas HaTov. But for myself to realize, this neshama can survive in a physical world. This neshama is able to be kosher davar ruchani, b'davar gashmi. I can live, I can thrive, I can accomplish so much. Which leads to the next bracha. What bracha follows Asher Yatzar? Machlokas. Some siddurim have Berachas HaTorah. The Rama says that was verse number 11. Berachas HaTorah should come after Asher Yatzar. Our scroll typically has it that way. And many others put Elokai Neshama, which Mishnah Berurah says not to pronounce it that way. It's not Elokai Neshama. It's not my God, my soul. It's Elokai, comma, Neshama Shemazadavi. Okay, but I'm going to say Elokai Neshama just because that's how we were trained, but it's not really Elokai Neshama. It's Elokai Neshama Shemazadavi. Good. So, after, according to the Vilna Gaon, in source number 13, the Vilna Gaon says what really belongs right after Asher Yatzar is Elokai Neshama. Why? Says the Vilna Gaon, V'tiknu Elokai Neshama, V'zeu al ha-neshama, V'asher Yatzar al ha-guf. Asher Yatzar highlights the physical body. Mafila says that this physical body, this mundane world, can sustain and allow perspective and prospects for a neshama, but the actual blessing on the neshama is Elokai Neshama Shenasatabi. It says the Vilna Gaon, V'lechein Nuschas Kol Rishonim Elokai Neshama Tekef Acher Asher Yatzar. Some have wondered why there's no bracha at the beginning of Baruch Atah Elokeinu Melech Olam Neshama Shenasatabi Tahorehi. So some suggest that this bracha is what's called Smucha L'Chaverta. This bracha is actually adjoined to Asher Yatzar. When you have two brachas that go together, like the first bracha benching begins Baruch Atah Hashem, but the second bracha begins, no delicha. It doesn't begin again, Baruch Atah Hashem. When you have a series of brachos that go one after the other, the second bracha doesn't begin, Baruch Atah Hashem. Some have suggested that the reason why Elokai doesn't have Baruch in the beginning is it's actually linked to Asher Yatzar. Not everyone agrees. Tosfos don't say it that way. The Rama argues on this din. But more importantly, I'm trying to highlight over here, is Elokai Neshama has a direct connection to Asher Yatzar. Asher Yatzar highlights a physical body in a physical world. And Elokai Neshama is the next segue, where we thank Hashem for giving us this pure neshama. You created it, you put it within me, you guard it within me, and you're going to take it one day, which is mamish, our idea of Moda Ani. Moda Ani is somehow here again. And in fact, it ends off, Moda Ani l'fanach Hashem l'kayv l'kayv l'sayv m'okal ma'asim. It's actually Moda Ani in there. The Acharonim point out that if you look at the Gemara and Brachos and Daf Samach, this is actually the thing you say when you wake up in the morning. The Gemara Brachos and Daf Samach says, you wake up in the morning, first thing you say is, Elokai Neshama. Over time, people said, you have dirty hands, you're not clean, you shouldn't say Shem Hashem. So Moda Ani was like a mini version of Elokai Neshama, which doesn't have Shem Hashem. Melech Hayav Kayam, but doesn't have Shem Hashem. But the ideas of Moda Ani, of a pure Neshama, especially on the heels of Asher Yatzar and Mitilas Yadayim, we have this fresh perspective, not just for Moda Ani, but carry it through. The Neshama is pure, you gave it back to me. Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky has a beautiful book on self-esteem called Let Us Make Man. And there's a beautiful couple excerpts he has in Berachos HaShachar where he highlights Moda Ani and he highlights this idea of Elokai Neshama. Look in source number 15. He writes, we arise and say Moda Ani, a prayer of gratitude to Hashem for providing another day of life. A person is basically saying, I am proud and grateful to have the opportunity of fulfilling the divine wish. As an individual, my unique purpose in existence could not be fulfilled by anyone else. Hashem trusts me. Even all the great tzaddikim and all the Torah luminaries from the beginning of creation to the end of time could not accomplish my singular mission in the world, or else I wouldn't be in existence. I have a value that transcends any that man can bestow upon me. No one could tell me I don't matter. No one could tell me that I'm a failure. Hashem believes in me and gave me back my neshama. Rabbi Munasacha is telling me I have a job. It is not for me to logically understand my ultimate purpose, but as long as there is breath of life within me. What's that a quote from? Kozman? As long as there is life within me, right? That's from a little kind of neshama. As long as there is life within me, I have significance. I am worthwhile. And that should provide me with a great measure of self-esteem. Later he writes, the daily morning prayer, Elokai Neshama, should be said with special concentration. Just as a precious gem, when first mined, is covered with layers of earth, and its true beauty is concealed until it is cleaned and polished, so the Neshama of a person is pure and brilliant. Its essence remains unaffected by any impurities which may overlay it. Every person has the capacity to cleanse these impurities and to reveal the brilliance of the divine essence within him. It's beautiful words. This is it. It's in our davening. Elokai Neshama is the greatest expression of self-esteem. The neshama you gave me is pure. And the undertones here are, even though yesterday was a terrible day, but I gave it to you. And you didn't just walk away with it thinking that this person can't make it. Rabbi Munasecha, Hashem says you can turn it around. The diamond can be polished. And if not tomorrow, then the next day. And every day we go again. And we remind ourselves. We thank Hashem, yes, but we are misor b'nafshenu. We remind ourselves that we have this brilliant diamond underneath that Hashem trusts us to take care of, even despite whatever happened yesterday or the day before. My davening was lousy yesterday. My relationship with people was lousy yesterday. I wasn't a good father, a good mother, a good spouse, a good friend, a good employee, employer. I was a lousy person yesterday. In the morning we wake up and we say, Hashem, you give me another chance. The diamond is pure. It's a fresh new start. I wash my hands today as purpose. The body you gave me, I have all the tools I need. The neshama housed within the body is ultimately pure. And now is a fresh start. This is how I'm going to start my day. I'm going to be a morning person. I'm going to be grumpy. And then I'm going to realize by davening, I'm going to start to feel the things I wasn't feeling before. If I don't feel these things already, Rav Hirsch would say, that's the most important reason to daven. These brachos are most important for those who don't feel this way. For those who are suffering from low self-esteem, these are the most important people to be saying these brachos. I do matter. No one can tell me I don't matter. No one can tell me that I've fallen so far that I can't get up. No one can convince me against Hashem, who obviously believes, Rabbi Munasecha, I'm a new being, I have a new fresh start. Yes, I have to deal with yesterday's problems. But if not a blank slate in the sense of not having debt or not having relationships to repair, it's at least a blank slate in the confidence and the esteem that I can do it. And if I don't believe in myself, Kadosh Baruch Hu believes in me. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given it back to me. It's not my neshama given to him. It's his neshama, which he trusted me. And I've dirtied it, and I give it back to him, and he didn't keep it. Rabbi Munasecha, he decided to give me another chance. I'm deciding to give myself another chance. The important piece we can't forget over here is we are talking to Hashem, a person who uses davening as a way to just pep talk oneself or look in the mirror and give oneself self-esteem. We can't take Hashem out of the picture. We can't ever forget that we are talking to Hashem, and the purpose of having this fresh start, the purpose of having this clean hands, both physically and symbolically, the idea of marching forward is for the purpose of living a life of avodas Hashem, living a life of serving Hashem. And wouldn't you know, the next section, whether it was the previous section, the next section is Birchas HaTorah. And Birchas HaTorah, believe it or not, is also about this idea of having a fresh start. The Levush, 500 years ago, in his commentary on the Halachas of Birchas HaTorah, has an amazing question that maybe we haven't thought of before. Birchas HaTorah is a kind of Birchas HaMitzvah, sort of. We are blessing Hashem on the commandment to learn Torah, and then we recite Psukim. We say Psukim and a Mishnah and a Braisa. We are learning Torah. Why are there two brachas, Birchas HaTorah? There's one bracha for washing your hands. There's one bracha on the body and going to the bathroom. Why are there two brachos for learning Torah? La'asok b'devrei Torah, the Harivna is part of the same bracha. The commandment to learn Torah and make Torah sweet and meaningful in my family. And there's another bracha, Ashabach Arbanim Mikol Ha'amim, halak yarida had the Torah, we were chosen at Har Sinai. Says the Levush, because Birchas HaTorah is like a Birchas Hananin. He writes so beautifully. When a person eats something, they enjoy it, their bodies are enjoying it. He writes, a person makes a bracha on learning Torah because the neshama enjoys it. It's sweet, it's delicious, it's fulfilling, it's satisfying. We make a bracha before we eat, and after we eat, we make a bracha before we learn, Wait, why isn't there a bracha after we learn? That's the kasha of the Levush. Why isn't there a bracha after we learn? We enjoy ourselves and we say thank you. When we lay and we get an aliyah, there's a bracha before that public kriyas haTorah, and there's a bracha afterwards. In our personal learning, if it's, let's say it's Wednesday. What's today? Today's Wednesday. If it's Wednesday, a person makes a bracha in the morning, but there's no after bracha. Oh, there is a tefillah printed in the front of the Gemaras that a person says, right, and the see, and we include that as well. Very true, that a person that does make a certain declaration before learning Gemara, before learning, and a person when leaving the Beis Medrash, but a person doesn't make a new Brachas HaTorah when they go home to learn. They make a bracha at the end of the learning Seder in the Beis Medrash. I think it's a Beis Medrash bracha, or Beis Medrash tefillah.
You wouldn't say that at home.
It's a Mara Brachas discusses that tefillah that a person says when leaving the Beis Medrash. But the idea is when a person goes home, that keeps on learning, they're still under the morning's blessings. Why don't we end off the day with a bracha? Okay, now that we've had our fill, I'm about to go to sleep. Why don't you make a bracha then? That's the kasha of the Levush. Why is there no bracha achrona on Talmud Torah? It says the Levush because it never ends. When a person is eating food, you eat the food. When you finish eating, you bookend it with a bracha saying thank you at the end. But Talmud Torah applies even when you're going to sleep. A person's obligated to say psukim of Kriya Shema and other psukim of Alamita. Those psukim are still included in this morning's brachas haTorah. And you're still saying psukim as you're falling asleep. There is no time. You're still awake and saying an after bracha. You should still be learning. And therefore, there is no after bracha. Says the Levush, maybe the two questions answer each other. We wanted to know, why are there two brachas in the morning of brachas haTorah? And why is there no after bracha for learning? Says the Levush, where it's underlined, V'nir alish zehatam nachal min hagenu, sha'adim bevarchim b'chol boker shtei brachos. Al haTorah, kidei shetehei achas nechsheves lebracha acharona al halimud shalabam esmal. How do you like that? There are two brachos in the morning. One is the end of yesterday's learning, and that's v'harevna. Hashem, make what I've already learned, make that sweet. Make me able to enjoy it and have it stay in my family. I'm engaging in a mitzvah today, but the main focus of the first bracha, he says, is for a person to have success in yesterday's learning being retained. And then on the end of the page, Habracha Hashnia hi nechsheves lebracha rishona al mashi yilmod hayom shiba. Wow. Amazing. Brachas haTorah contains an end to yesterday and a beginning for today. Ends off the Levush 500 years ago. V'yachavim b'brachaso al maimed har Sinai. When a person makes the bracha for today, they should have in mind in their bracha that they were chosen, Shabbat Harbanu, as if today we are standing at har Sinai. The Karbon Lefnei Har Sinai, and we've got the Torah and this relationship with Hashem that we have a right to engage with every single day. To take the Levush out of context a little bit, I'm now paraphrasing the Levush. He said what he said, and it's a beautiful idea. But for our purposes, to kind of borrow what he's saying, we begin the morning again by putting a bookend to yesterday and saying, now we're going to start a new today. Our relationship with Torah, not just tefillah, looking in the mirror, or giving myself a pep talk, but my relationship with Hashem and His mitzvos and this mission and this avoda is going to be fresh today. I put a bookend to yesterday's learning. I hope I retain it. And now I'm starting again as if I'm a Kabbalah at Har Sinai. Rashi and Chumash makes this point. When a person learns Torah and does mitzvot, Rashi says, Hayom hazeh, b'chol yom yu be'inecha kechadashim. A person has to treat mitzvot and the relationship with Hashem as brand new. The Chasam Sofer, we don't have time to read it inside, but the Chasam Sofer in source number 19 writes so beautifully that our relationship with Hashem has to be fresh. We can't view mitzvot and Talmud Torah as something that's old. The old guard, the old commands, the old lecture, the Old Testament. Hey, wait a second. We shouldn't call it the Old Testament. There's no New Testament. But also, it shouldn't be old. It shouldn't be the Old Testament. It's the fresh. It's the Torah's Chaim. It's the living, breathing, fresh, relevant, brand new Torah. The same way a person wakes up, a new being, a fresh diamond, a fresh slate, washing your hands of yesterday's tumos and starting anew, a body, a neshama, together, starting with a brilliant purpose. The Torah is also fresh. The mission is fresh. And says the Chasam Sofer, V'atem advekim, basham elokeichem chayim kolchem hayom. When a person treats the Torah and Hashem as live and living and brand new, then it's always hayom. Every day feels like a fresh mission. Every day feels like a brand new Kabbalah HaTorah Har Sinai. We've now taken the idea of just a pep talk in the mirror, talking to oneself. We've transformed that into a relationship with Hashem. Tefillah is not just giving us this pep talk that I can make a lot of money today. It's I can have this relationship with Hashem today. I can connect to the Torah in a fresh, new way. I put a bookend to yesterday's learning, and today I start new. And I thank Hashem for making us the chosen people at Har Sinai, which gives me this perspective that Torah is new, Torah is relevant to my life today. Whether I was faithful yesterday or not, today I will be. Today I am. Regardless of yesterday's impurities, I start today afresh. I have the confidence, I have the self-esteem. It's going to be an amazing day. And we can carry this theme. We've already seen it, not only in Moda Ani, but in Alon Tilas Tadayim, in Asher Yetzer. And we saw it in Al Kain Hashem. And now we see it in Berachas HaTorah. And the reality is you can really carry it through for all Berachas HaShachar. Depending on how homiletic you want to get. But Hanos in the Sech Vivina, Hashem either talking about the actual sun rising in the morning, a fresh day, or Hashem giving me Bina, the self-confidence that I have wisdom to deal with my day. Shlo asani gai, shlo asani avet, shlo asani isha, shasani kirtzano, my identity, who I am, the purpose that I have as a person full of mitzvos, pokeach ivrim, this outlook that I have on life, malbush arumim, I'm clothed and equipped with everything I have that I need, matir asurim, I'm not confined, I'm able to be out there and venture the world, look at kefufim, I can stand up straight and tall, rokarat salmayim, I can conquer the world, hamechem sadegavar, I can take every step. You can get really, really homiletic over here. But again, whether we're thanking Hashem in the literal sense, Hakaras HaTov, that He gives us all these things. And on top of that, the second layer of we're reminding ourselves of a purpose, of an identity, of a mission, of possibilities, of strength, of gevura and tefara and koach. Those are the brachos in the morning. We're reminding ourselves. We have the capabilities. He gave us everything we need for this mission. And the very last one, we start with Moda Ani, the very first part of Berachas HaShachar. We'll end off with the very last bracha in Berachas HaShachar. Hamavir Sheina Me'enai Usuma Me'afa Pai. Hashem removes sleep from my eyes, and there's a yiratzon to have a good day. To not fall prey to sin, or bad people, bad influences, not to succumb to nisayon, not to be challenged by the Yetzirah and being difficult people. Tosos write in Source 22 that that's one bracha. There is no separate bracha. That bracha is vihi ratzam with a vav. It's connected to the first part of Ma'avir Sheina. And Shulchan Aruch Paskin, in Source 21, that there's no amen after Me'af Apai. That is the same bracha as what the second part is. The question is, what is the connection? What is the connection between Hashem removing sleep from my eyes and the end of the bracha is Gomel Chasadim Tov L'mo Yisrael, Hashem does kindness for us. What's the connection between waking up in the morning and God doing kindness for us, and that middle section about not being struck by temptation. It says Tosfos in Source 22, on the second line, the Shapir having me'ein pasicha, samlech lechasima, the end of the bracha does match the beginning of the bracha. On the next line, v'hainu gemidlos chasadim, shakadosh baruch hu mavir sheina min ha'adam, Hashem removes sleepiness, u'machadesh kocho, like the Medrash says, chadashim la'bakarem ramamun asecha. There it is again. We had in the very beginning, Rabbah Munasecha, the very end, bookending, Berachas HaShachar is also this idea of being fresh and new and taking sleep off our eyes, giving us the koach to start our day with faith. Shumachzer HaNeshama Shlema B'Shakta B'Guf. We have the capabilities to go forward, and therefore the bracha ties in very nicely. It begins by saying, we thank Hashem for making us awake and not being sleepy, and yes, we are morning people, and it ends up with this tremendous chesed of Hashem. You know what the chesed is? Rabbah Munasecha. To Tosfos say. Tosfos. In between, we're essentially asking Hashem to help us keep this fresh perspective. I wake up all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Don't let me get thrown off by a negative person. Don't let me fall prey to the same challenges as yesterday. Don't let me get down and lose this perspective. And if I do, I'll come back again tomorrow. But my outlook for today is not only about being fresh and new and motivated and excited and capable. I'm also taking the steps to have a relationship for avoda, for Torah, for Kabbalah Satorah. And then I say to Hashem, help me keep this outlook throughout the day. Remove the sleepiness. Give me this fresh perspective. Keep me away from dangerous temptations that bring me down and depress my self-esteem. And thank you, Hashem, for all these kindnesses. All these kindnesses that happen every single day. These are our takeaways for tonight. Each day I begin with gratitude, awakening, my connection with Hashem and His blessing. Like the Sefer HaChinuch said, it's not giving Hashem what He doesn't have. It's about reminding ourselves we are speaking to the Baruch, the one who has all these things. And if really tefillah is about being misower within ourselves, this perspective, we have to remember we arise with a clean slate. Hashem has great faith, not just faith, great faith that today will be productive and meaningful even if yesterday was not. Like Kohanim, I wash my hands and I wash away yesterday's impurity, signifying I have an avoda to accomplish. This is my day. God has given me the tools, body and soul I need for my goals. At its core, I'm pure, a brilliant diamond, maybe covered by layers of filth, but now it's a fresh start. I can do it. No one can tell me that I can't. Number 5, I recommit to my divine mission today. Kabbalah said Torah, I made a bracha on yesterday's learning, and now I start today's learning. I start today's relationship with Hashem. What the Chasam Sofer said, I have a living, ongoing relationship with Hashem. Torah is new, Torah is fresh, my mission is fresh, and I can start anytime. And lastly, we end off Berachas HaShachar with this request to Hashem to help us not be sleepy, not to be grumpy, and to have this fresh perspective throughout the day. We shouldn't be thrown off, we shouldn't be brought down. And if it happens, well, tomorrow's another day. And that's the idea hopefully we can keep in mind during Berachas HaShachar. Not only the Hakaras HaTov, which is absolutely true, but from the very beginning of Berachas HaShachar to the very end of Berachas HaShachar, we are created afresh, anew, with hope, with optimism, with self-esteem for the coming day. Hashem has faith in us. We should be zochah to have the same faith in ourselves, accomplishing our mission every single day.